Here we are on New Year's Day, the first day of the year, and we celebrate the great solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, the greatest privilege of that Our Lady has received from God, the highest dignity, even after the Immaculate Conception, where she was full of grace, where she was made full of grace and accepted from original sin because of her role to be Mother of God, the greatest dignity, where she is raised above all the choirs of angels and all the saints, greater than all the angels and saints taken together, the queen of all the martyrs, who suffered more than all the martyrs taken together, says St. Alphonsus and other saints. The greatness of Our Lady is beyond our understanding, beyond anything we can imagine, something we will wonder at even in heaven. She'll be that paradise within a paradise of God. Our Lady, the great Mother of God. And we celebrate that today in the first day of this new year. And it's kind of obvious that the Church is placing this important feast on the first day of the year. So we should begin the year with Our Lady and continue it throughout the year, all the way to the end. You can say to the Immaculate Conception, December 8, all the way to the end of the year, and the Nativity and birth of Christ, Our Lady's front and center there, holding out the Christ child to us all, blessing us all with her Christ child. She has this pivotal, important, crucial role in our world and in our Christian life and in our spiritual life, our interior life. She is the Mother of God. She is nothing. She is nothing before God. She is nothing, but she has been raised to the greatness of this highest dignity, and she knows that. In the highest possible dignity, raised above the choirs of angels, queen of all creation, queen of the universe, has all authority and all power within her grasp because God has given it all to her. She never loses sight of her nothingness. So you think of the great Mother of God, you think of the great humility of God, of Our Lady as well. They go hand in hand, two sides of the coin. One after the other, Our Lady never loses sight of her nothingness, that God is everything. And this is an example to us all. And in our quest to grow in humility, to hold humility high in our mind, in our values, and we see the difficulty of it because we are born in pride. We are born in selfishness. We are born in always thinking of ourselves, number one, always putting ourselves first and always struggling with our self, always waking up in the morning, putting ourselves or inclined to put ourselves first. And it's such a struggle to be humble, and yet we can be. We can. Our Lady did it. Our Lady did it. She never consented to any thought of pride and always kept before herself the greatness of God, and we need to do the same. Keep in mind our nothingness and the greatness of God, and we can add to that our sins and our failures and imperfections, which Our Lady didn't have, but we can add all those. And so what do we do? What do we do in this struggle to be humble? We turn to the Master, the greatest Master of humility, Our Lady, the perfectly humble creature, and she will teach us. She will teach us for certain. All we have to do is ask her many, many, many times, more and more throughout our whole life, so that we never lose humility, we never consent, we never give in to pride and ruin all the work that God has done in us. We never do that. We always hold on to Our Lady and always turning to her, always looking to her, always lifting up our mind and heart to her and asking her to teach us to how to be humble, what to think about, what to look at, and also to have the grace of humility. Is, you know, we can do our part, but it's still a struggle, and we need that grace from God to plant in our heart that humble heart, that deep, deep, profound humility that Our Lady had. And we are striving to be united to Mary, striving to be united to her. We put her first in this new year, put her first to bring her deeper into our life, more strongly, more powerfully into our spiritual life, into our home, to our heart, into our body, into our soul. We want Our Lady to reign there, to live there, and to live there comfortably. Let her make herself set up her home, to let her have her throne there, have her way there, her sway there, you could say. We want Our Lady to reign in our spiritual house, and she won't do that unless we welcome her and ask her and make the place for her and beg her to come and stay and reign and teach us and to rule us and to tell us what to do and then to be docile to what she tells us. Always ask her, always asking her what we should be doing on a daily basis and a minute by minute basis even. This is what Our Lady should be doing in our soul, this feast of the Mother of God. We are calling her in a special way to be our mother. When we think of the role of Mary, there's no better word, no better title, no better teaching to understand as the mother. What does a mother do? A mother is queen of her children in every possible way. She holds them. She, changes their diapers, clothes them, teaches them, corrects them, guides them, holds their hand and walks them around, and watches over them, never keeps them out of her sight, always thinking of her child, always. And this is what we want Our Lady to do in our life, in our spiritual life, to be a mother, a true mother, an active mother, always active in our life. We want her to teach to live in us, and we to take the back seat, to be there, cooperating with her, working with her in tandem, always working with Our Lady. This is her role, and we're learning more and more about this through the developments of our Marian understanding, this Marian era, which will probably last to the end of the world, become more and more deeply Marian, so that our Lord can reign in the world, reign in our hearts. And everything Our Lady does is to please Jesus, and she's teaching us to please our Lord. She's turning us to Jesus. She's telling us everything about him. She's telling us how to please him, how not to offend him, what to do, how to be more perfect, how to be more pleasing, more virtuous, and more like him. That's everything she is. She's always focused and pointing to our Lord, so we have nothing to fear in that score, but everything to gain, everything to learn from Our Lady's coaching, teaching, guiding, and governing us. Our Lady, the Mother of God. When we think of Our Lady, the Mother of God, a mother is everything involved with her children too, including their sufferings. And we think of the sufferings of Jesus, and we think of Our Lady's role as co-redemptrix, that if she's the mother, she has to suffer with her child. If this child is going to suffer, a mother has to suffer. No good mother does not suffer everything that her child suffers, especially this one, her only one, her everything, her God, her divine child, her perfect child, her loving child. She suffered everything possible with him. And there are those who doubt the co-redemption of our Lady, who don't want to express it in these days because of ecumenism. And maybe we just need to teach this doctrine, which is really kind of common sense, because she's a mother. A mother suffers with her child, and this one especially. And this mother suffers, and it is not even anything she deserved. There's no reason why she would suffer at all. She never did anything wrong, never even the slightest sin, never incurred original sin, and yet she suffered more than every saint, every martyr taken together. Why? Why did she suffer all of this? The Queen of Martyrs, the Queen of Sorrows, Mother of Sorrows, why? Doesn't make any sense. She didn't commit any sin. But it makes sense when we think that she is to be the mother of us all. She is the co-redemptrix, to suffer with Jesus, to share in his sufferings so that she can be our mother. Then it makes sense. It is common sense that a mother suffers with her child. And so she is our mother in that sense as well, and suffering for us, bearing those labor pains to give birth to Jesus in us, to give birth to our Lord in the hearts of every human being, to be the mother of us all and to guide us all. And we too have to share, we have to be little co-redeemers too, and learn from Our Lady how to take up our crosses, mortify ourselves, to accept our sufferings in union with Jesus, in union with Our Lady, and find our way to heaven through the cross. There's always the cross, always. There's no way to avoid suffering. We must embrace it like Mary did, like Jesus did, to embrace the crosses of our life, and knowing that God will never give us anything more than we can endure and handle, and we can handle everything with Our Lady guiding us. And that, what a great consolation that is, an encouragement that we can always, we're not carrying our burdens on alone. Our Lady is always with us, and our Lord is too. He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." We have that yoke carried with Jesus and Mary on the other side, we on one side, they on the other, carrying our crosses through our life, growing in holiness in this way. And so we unite ourselves to Our Lady more profoundly and deeply today on this, her greatest feast, as Mother of God and Mother of all of us.
Fructum ventris tui.